It's dark at night. Not the time for people to be out and about, but sure enough, Nicodemus, you are. You've seen this Jesus at work, and you're wondering, who is he? What is he up to? He is certainly upsetting everybody's apple cart, especially the religious leaders. Who is he? And so you go in and you say, Jesus, we know that you're from God. We've seen the great and mighty works that you do. Like healing the sick, turning water into wine at the wedding feast at Cana. And Jesus looks you in the eye and says, there's a lot more going on here, bro, than you realize. You have to be born anew from above to realize what you are seeing is the kingdom of God right now. He tried to back off Jesus a little bit with some sarcasm. I'm a grown adult. How can I go back to my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus, the scripture says it's so nice, but he's saying, Nicodemus, you're messing with me. Are you saying that you, an elder, looked up religious leader, do not understand these things? There are times when the distance between heaven and earth get thin and might even get erased, that they're so close. And God's Spirit blows free and everything is changed. I am more than a sign from God. I am here to reconnect all of humanity with God because of their brokenness. They need a Savior. And just as back when your ancestors were in the wilderness and Moses was leading you to the promised land and you got rebellious and got so difficult to deal with that you were being bit by snakes, Moses put a snake on a pole and said, whoever looks on this snake will be healed. Well, I'm telling you, there will be a day whoever looks on the Son of Man, who God will lift up on a pole, they will be saved. So I'm here to bring forgiveness and new life. And what I am doing is mysterious. It's like when you're in a pine forest and the wind is blowing. Where is it coming from? Where is it going? You know it's there, but you can't feel it. You can feel it, but you can't see it. There's a spirit present in me that will be with you forever. You know, that same Jesus is here speaking to you and me this morning. I started out with telling the children, we're all brothers and sisters. The waters of baptism make us a family. Whether you're almost 80 like I am or 8 hours old, whether you're male or female, straight or gay or whatever, even Republican or Democrat, we are all brothers and sisters because of those waters. And in a mysterious way, heaven touched earth every time a person is baptized. So when you were baptized and I was baptized, the Spirit came into our life. A Spirit that moves us in ways that sometimes are totally beyond understanding. Yes, through the Holy Spirit, when we read the scripture, new things come alive. I was sharing with my wife this morning, and I'm in it. It's a miracle to me that every time that I get up and preach, or let's say most of the time, let's be honest, I'm fallible like everybody else. A sermon comes. I study the word, I pray over it, and a sermon comes. And I bet you it's the same for you. When you study the word and say, I want to hear what God's message for me is here, you'll feel it. The same is true with prayer. There's something about prayer that lifts you up. I'll never forget a professor friend of mine who taught at Southern Seminary. He was in the hospital with a coma. His brain had swelled. And everybody was asked to pray for him. Well, Marty came out of that coma and moved on with his life. And many of us said, Marty, tell us about that time. He said, I didn't know anything except hands were lifting me up. And so when you pray for people on their birthdays and anniversaries and we're in the hospital or in a wreck on Route 8, you are lifting them up before God. God will always be there for them, but they will feel God's presence through your prayers because of that awesome Holy Spirit. But that's only a beginning. This church is really an awesome place. I bet you it was German farmers who built it. And they were playful sort. Down by Salisbury, there was a UCC church that got built before the Lutheran one did. So the brothers went out in the middle of the night and measured the size of the building, and they built a building that building would fit right inside. Well, despite some of our foolishness, God planted a church here. And you are here because of it. I'm here because of it. And right during your journey, you can remember pastors who were here. One in particular who's a dear friend of mine who's almost lost his sight now is Charlie Hoyle. Wonderful man. I can think of some others that were some scallywags. We won't bring them up. But here you are. And you're in a sacred, scary moment. Your pastor has left. Do you realize how tough it is on a pastor to leave a church? You're there when a child is born, you baptize it, you might even confirm that child and even officiate at their wedding. And in my case, I actually had the chance to baptize one of their kids. You get close to people when you're with them, whether they stay married or get divorced, whether they're employed or unemployed, whether they're happy or sad. Well, I know of no human relationship that has the possibility of being closer than that of two people who are married. You live with each other. You celebrate with each other. You cry with each other. But the difference between a pastor and a marriage is you're there for a season. Boy, you want to talk about one of the truths of ministry that's tough on me. It's you're there for a season and you got to go. Even doing an interim and you get close and you got to leave, it's tough. And why is it tough? Because you aren't supposed to communicate with anybody when you go. A minute ago, you were their pastor. Now you're supposed to be dead to them. And many of them say, he or she didn't care for us anyways. No, it's to give opportunity for the next pastor to come. But what I'm asking you to trust in is that the Holy Spirit is active right now preparing whoever it is who God is bringing to this congregation. What are some things that you need to do, that the Spirit is leading you to do before getting that person? And oh, one of the joys I have had in the ministry is I've never served on a pastoral search committee. People come up to you. Have you got any candidates? Got any live wires? Come on, you can tell me out. I won't tell anybody except my husband. Sure. And you look over the cherish's needs, you look over the potential candidates. It's a tough job. And it takes time. It isn't like it, you know, in modern industry, or even in the White House, one guy's gone and the other one shows up the same afternoon. No. To prepare for the pastor who next will need to be leading you, and you'll be needing to lead her or him, takes time. Because there will come a day when the pastoral search committee says, "We think we got a live one here. Let's go to the church council and see what they think." And oh, I hope that the council says yes, because nothing's worse than the pastoral search committee says, "She is the person." And the council says, "No way." But we're going to trust the Spirit's leading, and that's what I'm going to be asking you for. Don't be asking, "What do I need?" What does the Spirit want for our church? Mako brought things, Hoyle brought things, and the pastors before them brought things to move you along. Where do you need to move to next? And don't tell me you're afraid of change. Without change, you're dead. I can't run anymore. I've replaced a hip. I've replaced it twice. The doctor was so enjoyed it that he did it twice. A knee. You know, my hair was once brown, but at least it hasn't waved goodbye. You and I are changing, no matter what age we are. Our grandson Trey is in the military, in the National Guard, and he's serving in the Mideast as a medic. I was talking to him this week on his 25th birthday. Would you believe you can get on the phone and call somebody halfway across the globe through Messenger and talk to them? It's incredible. He isn't the baby I knew. He's becoming a medical professional. Some time ago, his outfit had to go out and string some barbed wire, and he went out to do it with them, and they said, "Doc, you sit down. We need you if we get cut." He's growing. And even though my body's wearing out, I think I'm finally old enough to know what it means to be a pastor. It's a shame I've gotten too old to do it all. But I want you to be open to God's future. What is the Spirit doing? How's the Spirit stirring in your hearts? And who is that Spirit working on right now? This is Christ's church, not our church. And he won't let it fail. But be open to where Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is leading it, as heaven and earth touch each other. Every bit as close as when we come to this communion table and receive life, forgiveness, and salvation. Amen.